A UN team is in Beirut this weekend to investigate the bomb blast earlier this month that killed former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri and 16 others. Lebanese opposition figures accuse Syrian intelligence of having had a hand in the killing and question the probe being run by Lebanon's pro-Syrian government. Syria has announced a willingness to pull some of its 14,000 troops in Lebanon back toward the border, but analysts wonder if Damascus can afford to give up its dominant role in Lebanon. NPR's Peter Kenyon visited Beirut and filed this report.
Upon arriving in Beirut, the head of the UN team, Irish Deputy Police Commissioner Peter Fitzgerald, promised absolute impartiality and professionalism in the Hariri investigation. But Fitzgerald arrived on the scene a full 11 days after the deadly blast, and he pledged to work closely with Lebanese authorities, who are setting clear limits on his powers. Lebanese Cabinet Minister Sami Menkara, a close ally of pro-Syrian Prime Minister Omar Karami, says it's a matter of sovereignty and national jurisdiction.
Yet having said this, the government is ready to welcome anybody who wants to look into the investigation. However, we will not permit these people, say, to go out and carry out the investigation themselves.
That's what worries longtime opposition activist Azam Salam. He fears the investigation will obscure the involvement of Syrian intelligence forces, which he believes must have had at least an indirect role in the Hariri assassination. Salam says Damascus is determined to hold on to its influence in Lebanon, which he says permeates every aspect of life.
They control the nomination of the presidents. They control the nomination of prime ministers. They control the nomination of the cabinet ministers. In fact, they ended up by having total, full control over the country itself.
The economic connection is also strong. Hundreds of thousands of Syrian laborers work at low-paying jobs in Lebanon and send money back to their families. The impact of the current unrest, which included threats against Syrian workers, was felt immediately in the construction sector, where some projects were forced to suspend work for lack of laborers. Joseph Ayub, foreman at one site still in operation in Beirut, says he used to use foreign workers from India or Sri Lanka, but prefers the Syrians.
They were a lot easier to have, not only because the wages were slightly lower, but because their countries were much closer.
Analysts say Syria has a host of reasons for maintaining its influence. Lebanese political scientist Sami Baroudi says Damascus is perplexed by the fierce international pressure to withdraw its troops.
Probably for the Syrians, they think, you know, this is ridiculous. Why are all these countries making all this fuss about Lebanon? You know, this is our backyard. This is our Latin America.
Baroudi says the emergence of issues such as human rights and the right of small countries to be free and independent has largely bypassed Damascus, where old-fashioned power politics are still the norm.
They still think very much in terms of, you know, realpolitik. You know, why do they bother about those things? They can always do business with us, you know. We'll vote with them in the United Nations Security Council. We offer some economic concessions to French firms. They will get off our backs. They're not really adapting very well to this new situation.
An icy river runs through the mountain estate of Druze leader Walid Jumblatt, seen as the de facto leader of the opposition now that Rafik Hariri is gone. Jumblatt, who's now aligned with some of the groups he did battle with during Lebanon's 15-year civil war, had been meeting regularly with Hariri before his assassination. Jumblatt recalls Hariri returned last summer from a meeting with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, saying that Assad was taking a tough line on French President Jacques Chirac's call for a Syrian withdrawal from Lebanon.
I don't know how come the president of Syria told him, look, if Chirac wants me out of Lebanon, I will break Lebanon. And we know Walid Jumblatt, he has his own Druzes, and also we have Druzes in Syria, and we'll just create havoc in the Mount of Lebanon. I hope Bashar was not serious when he was talking like that. I hope so. I don't know.
But Jumblatt insists that a face-saving way could be found for Syria to withdraw without making Assad look weak. Still, old divisions are complicating the opposition's efforts. The Shiite militia Hezbollah, for example, is not only refusing to join the opposition, but is echoing the government line that the opposition is playing politics with a national tragedy. Khaled Abu Zainab is a Hezbollah Politburo member.
The opposition has used the martyrdom of the late Prime Minister Rafik Hariri to take things in the direction they want them to go. They've also used this to accuse the government, they've accused the Syrian, they've been responsible of inciting the crowds.
Tomorrow, the Lebanese government is expected to survive a vote of confidence in the parliament. Then the opposition will look to see if Damascus and its allies in Beirut are willing to loosen their grip on Lebanese politics, or whether they believe a few gestures, such as troop redeployments, will suffice. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.